It's KM to AM on WFAN.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM. The Fan. WFAN.
Yeah. It's not a KM to AM. Greetings and blessings. It's a little Sunday sauce. That's what we call it. It's a Sunday show. It's a lot of therapy going on, a lot of healing going on. I listened to Moose's show. I couldn't sleep all weekend. I couldn't sleep last night. The homies are hurting right now. The city is healing right now. We're going to go through it. 888-808-1019. Keith McPherson on the Fan till 6 p.m. And as I was putting together notes and thoughts and really recapping this Knicks season, what I came around to was the notorious B.I.G. line, it was all a dream. It was all a dream. All the dreams of the Canyon of Heroes and a parade that New York City has never seen. All the dreams of a finals in Madison Square Garden. We were preparing to have an NBA finals, right? We were preparing for a game 7 in the Eastern Conference. It was all a dream. It was a facade. It wasn't real. But it was real fun, right? The ride was fun. The ride, you got to enjoy the journey. But when you think back to where it started, I mean, go back to last year. This Knicks team last year got hurt. This Knicks team last year couldn't finish the job. They were just run down and injured, and broken hands and hamstrings and abdominal issues. And the same Pacers team knocked them off last year. And a lot of us thought they were going to run it back with Julius Randle and Dante DiVincenzo. And we knew they couldn't pay Iheart, but they make the move to get Mikal Bridges. And the price is so high, Nets fans, I'll get to you in a minute. The price is so high, but they paid it because Mikal Bridges was supposed to be that final piece. Bringing the Villanova Wildcats, the champions from college basketball together. Something that we rarely ever see in professional basketball. It was going to work, right? And since you couldn't pay Iheart, you needed a big. Mitchell Robinson wasn't ready. Jericho Sims, not the answer. So you make the trade as well to get Karl Anthony Towns. And I mean, it's just crazy to see where we are right now. Obviously, you put that team together with championship aspirations. But in the NBA, there's about 10, 15 teams with championship aspirations. They're all dreaming. And for a Knicks franchise that had consistently gotten to the playoffs, the second round of the playoffs, the dream was to get out of the second round. But as we went through the season and we got to see Jalen Brunson, Karl Anthony Towns, all-star starters play together, high-paid player like OG Anunoby, a hustler like Josh Hart, and you know how they came together, they just didn't measure up against the upper echelon. They couldn't beat the elite, right? They were something like 0-8 against the elite teams in the NBA. And I think the only team that they beat that was a good team was the Nuggets, and I vividly remember Nikola Jokic saying, this team's a title contender. And so fans started to dream. Hey, this is a guy who won. This is an MVP who's on the floor with the Knicks. The Knicks beat the Nuggets, and Jokic said, we're a title contender. Maybe this is the year. But ultimately, no one really thought it was the year because you were always going to run into the Boston Celtics, right? So even in the first round, there was trepidation. Even in the first round against the Pistons, it was like, hey, they might not beat the Detroit Pistons. Cade Cunningham is the best player on the floor. The new bad boys, they're scrappy, they're young, they're tough. And a six-game series, you get that Jalen Brunson shot, you get that epic moment. The dream starts to become a little bit more real because you get into the second round against the Celtics and you say, okay, why not us? And I know they said that. I know Karl Anthony Towns said that. But you start to dream like, hey, maybe we can beat the Boston Celtics. When everybody told you it's a sweep, it's a gentleman's sweep, even after you stole the first game, oh, that was a fluke. You start to dream about a series where, hey, the math tells you, hey, you win that first game on the road, the series is so, you win the second game in a similar fashion, almost deja vu. You steal that second game. Now the picks for Mikal Bridges, oh, those picks don't matter. It's worth it now because, look, we're up 2-0 against Boston. And who knows what would have happened in the Boston series if Tatum was healthy. They were up. They were winning. And I think the world saw this Knicks team and said, hey, they're knocking off the defending champs. The defending champs have played a lot of basketball. It's not their year. And then when you looked over at Cleveland, as they were hurt, the number one seed, you're seeing a pathway. You're like, wait, the dream is becoming a reality. Maybe this is the year. Maybe it is opening up for the New York Knicks. 888-808-1019. I don't know if you're a fan or not a fan. I don't know how much you believed, but it was all a dream. It was never real. All of the parties and celebrations outside of Madison Square Garden, 7, partying as if something was won. All of the talk, I mean, they put up signs of the players' names prematurely in the city as if they were honoring champions. And I think we all started to take this magic carpet ride. I know I did my part to not crush anyone's dream. I'm not a Knicks fan, but I saw what it did for the city. I read it was over, you know, $830 million of an economic impact. And I saw how happy people were. And I saw people breaking out their old school starter jackets and hats and old school Knicks merch. And it was a dream of uniting the city. The one team, right, that unites New York City. The one team in the middle of Manhattan that everybody rallies around. And the Net fan is in the corner somewhere, right? The Brooklyn Net fan, the New Jersey Net fan is in the corner somewhere saying, hey, you did crush our dreams. You rooted against us when we had our dream team of KD and Kyrie and Harden, and we didn't get out of the second round. We're not rooting for you. But it's such a small percentage of Nets fans who definitely took some shots and some beers and cheered last night and said, hey, the Knicks didn't get it done, because ultimately this was a dream. It was never a real thing. Even if Vegas told you the odds were that the Knicks were going to come out of the Eastern Conference Finals, that the Knicks were favored to go to, it wasn't real. Because you doubted the team the whole way. You doubted the coach in the first series, some of the players. And even in this Pacers series, what a dream for Indiana. Give some credit to the Pacers. I knew that they were going to die on that floor last night before they went back to New York. It was their time. It was their dream to get to the Eastern Conference Finals and then go on to the actual finals. They got there last year, right? It's an origin story for both sides. This happens to be the Pacers' year. I don't think they're going to beat OKC, but they took a step forward. The Knicks also did take a step forward getting out of the second round, but it was never a reality that this was a championship team. And you saw it last night. If that's how you go out last night, the free throw shooting, the three-point shooting, the fouls, the turnovers, and your best players not leading you to victory, it just started to unravel. It started to look like this was all a facade. It wasn't real. But it was real fun while it lasted, right? It's fun to dream for a team and a fan base in a city that hasn't had much to celebrate for decades around the team, 24 years since the Knicks got back to an Eastern Conference. The Knicks this year with Timothy Chalamet and Kylie Jenner and Ben Stiller and Spike Lee and Tracy Moore. You know, that's another thing. They want to humble New York. They don't want to see us party in the streets. They don't want to see all our celebrities. They don't want us to have nice things. And as we're dreaming of what the city would look like, oh man, you see the party after game 6 of the second round going to Eastern Conference. If the Knicks go to the finals, you know what's going to happen. They're going to have to send in the National Guard. It was never real. It was all a dream. And when the dream ends, you're left where we are today thinking about, okay, what do we do next, right? When I talk about the origin story, like, it took Jordan some years before they figured it out with the Bulls to get over the hump. It took Steph Curry and the Warriors some years to figure it out until they got over the hump. You're not changing the coach. He's safe. If you heard Jalen Brunson talking about him last night, he's going nowhere. And he shouldn't go anywhere after beating the Celtics and getting to the Eastern Conference. It's a step forward. But now you got to tweak the team again, right? Now you got to change the team again, but Giannis isn't the answer. You got to dream bigger, though. You got to dream bigger, though. Got to have better defense. Got to have another star next to Brunson. And there's so many people that will tell you, a small guard like Brunson, not as athletic. You can't win with a guy like that. You can't win it all with a guy like that. But we were dreaming, saying, hey, this is the clutch player of the year. Even last night, as I'm watching the game with Knicks fans that are wearing their Lynn Sanity shirts or Carmelo Anthony jerseys or Patrick Ewing or John Starr, you know, and they're all arms, you know, over the shoulders, and a lot of hugs and high fives and dreams, still dreaming. Hey, let's get it to the fourth quarter, and maybe in the fourth quarter we can. No, the dream has ended. It is now June. They do not play into June. There will be no Game 7 at the Garden tomorrow. That's it for the New York Knicks. And now you think about, how do they tweak this team? Who do they trade? Mikal Bridges, you know, might cost you. And Giannis isn't the answer, but you don't have the assets. This is going to be a wild summer. It's June. The summer weather is coming soon. And before you know it, it's the draft and then free agency and free agency frenzy. And you got to get better. You got to get better because the Pacers aren't going anywhere. And you tip your cap to the Pacers, their front office. And Rick Carlisle, the front office for putting this team together. Rick Carlisle for coaching this team. A guy like Tyrese Halliburton, who was voted most overrated. And now he's turned it around. His whole slogan is overrate that. Right? They're the champs. They did it. And as I watched them last night, I'm like, these guys want it more. Look at the box score. I'm like, they've got 10 guys that do not want to go back to New York. They've got 10 guys that are going to lay it all on the line in front of their fans. Indiana's home of the Hoosiers. I'm just watching the game last night like they're not going to lose this game. It was a barn burner for a minute, but the dream has ended. And now the reality is, where do we go from here? 888-808-1019. For the Net fan, like I said, I'll get to you, Nets fans. I know there was a celebration going on, just a small celebration, because you didn't want to see the Knicks get to the championship with Mikal Bridges being the final piece, right? Giving up Mikal Bridges if that's the guy that gets them over the hump. And a lot of Net fans are salty about, hey, when it was our turn, when we had it for a little while, they didn't want to see us prosper. But just do the math. It's simple math. I heard Moose say it. He's the Brooklyn Net fan, the New Jersey Net fan, is such a small percentage of fans here. It doesn't move the needle. Doesn't move the needle. But there's definitely an NBA fan, a national fan, that did not want to see the Knicks win, and they didn't. And so we're on to the next season. We're on to a long summer. Dreams that have to become reality somehow. I don't know. I don't have the answer for you. It's not Giannis. I don't know. Karl-Anthony Towns. There's questions about his defense. There's questions about Mikal Bridges, Jalen Brunson. It's tough to see Brunson not play well. It's tough to see these guys not play well with their backs against the wall facing elimination. But you knew, like I said, it was a dream. You were dreaming. They go down 2-0. They're down 3-1. You're dreaming of them coming back. It was never realistic. That first game swung the entire series. That losing that first game, you had it won. And when you lose that first game, it's like now you got to win 5 games out of 7 against a Pacers team that they've got a lot of guys, and they hustle and they fight, and they're the Eastern Conference Finals champions. Congrats to them. They're going to the finals, and now the Knicks fan is saying, okay, we had some great moments. Progress was made, got out of the second round, but where do we go from here so that the dream can turn into a reality? This Knicks team has a small window here, maybe 2 to 3 years here. And when you look at the East now, the Celtics without Tatum for a year, and I'm not sure what the Cleveland Cavaliers will look like, but the Pacers aren't going anywhere. But it's still open, right? If this Knicks team can add another player, make some tweaks and changes again this offseason, Leon Rose, what do you do to make this team better so they can take that step forward, so that these fans can watch the origin story of second round exit. Get out of the second round to the Eastern Conference Finals. Now, the next step next year, the bar is set at, hey, we got to win. We got to go to the finals and win it, so that this dream that all the Knicks fans are having, all of those years of nightmares, not being in the playoffs, not having a good product on the court, well, now you got to actually finish the job. You actually got to get there. 888-808-1019. It's tough, man. I was out in Brooklyn with everybody last night. We had a few hundred people out at the event last night. The Yankee game was over so fast. It was disgusting. I wish I had a change of clothes. I was in full Yankee gear. 4-0, 7-0, 10-0. Before you look up, turn it off. And everybody's focus was on the Knicks, and it was a rough night. There was not enough whiskey, beers, tequila to go around there, you know. But when you see New York like that, when you see New York fans out there like that together, everybody wearing their Yankees gear, their Knicks gear, and some Mets fans as the Mets are about to pop up on the TV looking for the sweep of the Rockies today. We'll get into it. But you know and I know this is therapy right now. It's a Sunday. The hangovers are hanging. The thoughts are swirling in your head about what just happened, what will happen, and I'm here to take your calls and talk sports with you. Keith McPherson on the fan dial, 888-808-1019. We'll get into the game. We'll get into the season that was. We'll get into the offseason. We'll talk about the Dodgers absolutely owning the Yankees. I can't stand it. Of course, we'll talk about the generational Juan Soto. And my thing with Juan Soto is he took accountability, and then he backed up his words. And now it's June. It's going to get a little warmer. Maybe this is the time that we see Juan Soto break out. And we got to move
against
on.
Against the Rockies.
We got to move on. You said against the Rockies?
I could hit against the Yankees.
Bro, the Yankees lost that first game to the Rockies.
Fair point.
They're a Major League Baseball team. And you got to get right against somebody. Get right against the Rockies. They got to face the Dodgers. We're going to get into it. I got the full 5 hour KM in the PM. A little Sunday sauce on the fan. Nona, cook up two pots. Seriously, like, you need some comfort food. Got to have a good dinner tonight. Go to sleep tonight and turn the page. The NBA season is over, and now we have our baseball teams that we're going to lock in on. But, man, that was rough last night. I saw some legit tears. I seen some grown men crying. It's over. It was fun while it lasted, but it was all a dream. It was never a reality that this Knicks team was going to win the NBA Finals. Keith McPherson on the fan. Please call up and join us. Don't go anywhere. We're coming right back. It was all a dream. Keith McPherson on the fan. Sunday, a little Sunday sauce. Trying to comfort y'all, man. I'm not going to be a hater. I'm not a Knicks fan, but I'm a New York radio host. I'm a sports fan in this city. Like I said, I was out last night with hundreds of Knicks fans, Yankees fans. We took an L and an L and tried to make the most of it. So let's make the most of it today. Call up with your thoughts on each player. Call up with your thoughts on what to do this offseason. Call it with your thoughts from this season, right? It's kind of like you recap and look back on the season. And I think by the time the show ends, you'll feel positive about the journey, the ride, the dream that was almost a reality. 888-808-1019. Let's get right to the phone. Matt is in New City. What's up, Matt? You got it. Hello, Matt.
Hey.
Matt, are you there?
Yep, you just buzzed me through. I'm here.
Okay, we got you.
All right, you got me. So I think a lot of Knicks fans are going to be acting like the sky's falling today, which, you know, I understand. But thank you.
Okay. You know, at the end of Moose's show, we had some trouble with the calls. Some stuff breaking up. That's the first one out the gate. I don't know what we were
that
doing
there. That
dude
just went grocery shopping or something. I don't know what he thought.
Let's do better. Like I said, I know it's rough. It was hard to sleep. I didn't sleep Friday night after the loss that the Yankees took. Last night, I didn't sleep at all either. Let's do better. Let's try to rally here. Let's have some good calls and conversation. Frank and Scotch Plains on the fan. Go for it, Frank.
JR, can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
How are you?
Good.
Hey, does the NBA have a metric where they judges a team's transition defense? Because I'm thinking, were the Knicks the worst this year? Because I've never seen, and listen, I'm a Knicks fan since the days of John Gianelli and Neil Walker. I'm 60. So, but I've never seen a team, like, especially last night and throughout the series, not get back on defense. It seems like the other team is far more conditioned. Like, Siakam looks like he can run from Indiana to New York and back. Like, he doesn't get tired. But you look at the Knicks, they don't get back on defense. They're not athletic. It seems like the Pacers, when the Pacers get out on that break, it's over. I mean,
Thanks for the call, Frank. Keith McPherson on the fan. I mean, listen, the Pacers, that is their game. Coming into the series, we talked about how their name suits them, the pace of play. That is that That is that team. That is what they do. It's hard to run with them, anybody, especially when you're late in the season like we are here playing almost till June, and your starters have played so many minutes. It's tough to keep up with those guys. You know, they had the, like, inside tracks, the mic'd up, you know, with Tibbs basically telling guys, you got to get back. You got to run. You can't jog. You got to, if you got to tell guys to hustle, you got to tell guys to run in the Eastern Conference Finals. It is what it is. You know, you can't admire shots made. You can't soak over shots missed. Like, that's how the Pacers play their game. They're tough for anybody to keep up with, for anybody to run with. I don't know if there's a, you know, transition defense metric on it, but, you know, just use your eyes and watch. You saw it the whole series. That is how the Pacers play, and it was tough for the Knicks to keep up with them. Martin is in Guilford, Connecticut on the Fam. What's up, Martin?
Hey, listen, you're probably not going to like me much, but I just can't help myself. So we had like a number nine pitcher last night, you know, won't talk about him too much. DJ LeMay, who was flailing at, you know, batting practice balls thrown by Kiki Hernandez, who shut you down the ninth inning. Got, you know, Judge trying to stretch into a double down by like nine runs. And we're about to go 8 out of the last 10 games against your team with the softball touching Ryan Yarbrough going tonight. But forget about that for a second. After Fried pitched on Friday, I was curious. I looked at his postseason record. Have you looked at that?
I have not.
Okay, well, you know, that we have to admit that that was a big game last night, okay? You've been to the Yankee-Dodger games. They're not like other regular season games. They're
massive.
Games of regular season.
They feel like the Super Bowl. Yes.
Nothing like another regular season game. He got up there and he couldn't swallow. And if you look at his postseason record, I'll tell you, it's 2-5 with a 5.2 ERA. Are you a little nervous about him now?
Maybe. Thanks for the call, Martin. We'll get to the Yankees stuff. I'll say this about Max Fried. He didn't have it. And we can point to a lot of other different things, bullpen decisions, some of the guys that the Yankees are relying on, fringe players. But, you know, Max Fried has been so good. It's tough to look at Max Fried and not give him a pass. Like, yo, you're going up against the Dodgers. And no, he's a world champion. He's got a ring. I don't know his exact, I mean, you just told us, but, like, that wasn't a postseason game. Yes, it was ratcheted up. Apple TV, that's another thing. I'm done paying for Apple TV. I'm good on the streaming services. I listen to the game. I listen to Dave and Susan call the game. But, yeah, we'll get to the Yankees. And that game Friday sucked. Yesterday was trash. They're probably getting swept. And it is not a good feeling for the Yankee fan who thought this team was different, right? Okay, the Dodgers are not going to see the same team that they beat in October that they mocked after beating the Yankees, talking about their defense. Like, this team is going to be, it's the same thing. And what hangs over the Yankees and the Yankee fans' heads is the Dodgers are the modern-day evil empire. They are the kings of baseball. They are at the top of the heap. They do everything right. They have found a loophole with their deferrals, and they put together the best talent, and they always try to improve their team at the trade deadline in the winter, and they've got talent on talent on talent, and then when you match up against them, you get to see, right? You had a 5-game win streak. You had a 7-series win streak, winning 7 series in a row, and then you go and meet a team from the National League, the Kings of the National League, the Dodgers, and they remind you that, like, they're just going to outclass you. The Knicks got outclassed last night by the Pacers. And in this series, it sucks. It's tough to get over. It's tough to wrap your head around all the little different things. But ultimately, like I said in my open, it wasn't a reality for the Knicks to win the finals, go to the finals. But they just took us all on a magic carpet ride. They took us all on an adventure. And most people expected them to lose to the Celtics. Some people thought they would lose to the Pistons. During the regular season, they didn't beat elite teams. But you had to enjoy the ride, and it sucks how it ended, but it's over now. Let's get back to the Knicks calls, 888-808-1019. Jack is in Hoboken on the Fan. What's up, Jack?
Hey, Keith. How's it going?
It's good.
I love your work, even though I'm a Mets fan. It's all good fun. I called in the Boomer and Geo the day after game one, kind of feeling like that's going to do them in. And, you know, they talked me down from the ledge at the time. But, you know, unfortunately, just too inconsistent. Their offense, just too much ISO ball. But, you know, as a diehard Knicks fan, I feel like this is year one of a legit championship window. And, you know, I would make some tweaks on the bench, but I wouldn't do too much. And time will tell on the Bridges trade, but honestly, I feel like it's a thing that both sides can be happy on. The Nets got a good return, and honestly, as a Knicks fan, like, they're not in the Eastern Conference Finals without his play, especially in the Celtics series. So, you know, that's basically all I got to say.
Thanks for the call, Jack. It's funny, I meet Mets fans, and I met a bunch of Mets fans at the event last night, and they preface, hey, love your show, love yourself, but I'm a Mets fan. I'm like, you don't have to say that. We're about to watch this Mets game, and I'll give credit where credit is due on what the Mets have done, and if they sweep today, we'll do that. But, you know, sticking with Mikal Bridges and the Knicks and the Nets and the dynamic there, Mikal Bridges was worth the trade because of his defense in that Celtics series. He was instrumental in helping you steal those first two games that stole the series. Now, in this Pacers series, right, he helped you get to the Eastern Conference Finals. You needed more from him in this Pacers series, and he didn't have it. He wasn't able to show up. He needs to have more of an offensive impact. He needs to be more of a scorer. You know, to give up that much for a player that's never been an all-star, for a player that now, like, what do you do? Are you going to give him an extension? Are you going to pay him? Are you going to keep him on this team? Or do you try to move him somewhere? And I think they're just going to keep tweaking and changing this Knicks team. They have the last few years. I expect changes again. I don't expect them to run it back. They got to try to push their chips in this window, like Jack just said, right? The championship window. Maybe this is year one of three. But they gotta figure out how to make the jump. And I think it's next year, right? It's you're staring at the Pacers and the Cavaliers in theory. Somebody else will rise. But it's not going to be the Celtics. They're going to have to figure out that roster and change that team. The Knicks got to figure out who to add. Obviously, Brunson goes nowhere. And shout out to Brunson, right? He took less. The captain of the team. Undersized guy, but tough to watch that game last night. 19 points. A minus 18, five turnovers, just not good enough out of the leader of the team, not good enough out of the face of the franchise, the guy that you needed to lead you to victory. 888-808-1019. Let's go to Josh in Columbus on the Fan. What's up, Josh?
Hey, Keith. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. So I'm overall, I mean, obviously they got further than they've gotten in a long time, but I feel like Leon Rose said, let me just go get the five best players I can get. Doesn't really matter how they fit. I'll have an amazing starting five. And if on paper, they have the best starting five in the East. But if you look at how they actually fit, and you saw what the Pacers did, they said, we could put a center on Josh Hart. He can't shoot, which means we could put an athletic wing on Kat, and Kat is going to play his very confusing, odd, frustrating game. Minnesota showed if you play Kat at the four and you have a rim runner next to him, it works. If you don't have a point guard like Brunson who needs to be in the paint to operate. So it just kind of feels like it was, let's just go get five really good names and just maybe they'll figure it out. And they clearly didn't, which is fine. But I just hope this team is not complacent looking at the East next year, because they will probably be one of the favorites to come out of the East next year as presently constituted. But this team does not mesh well enough together and doesn't complement each other to actually win a championship if you look at some of the teams out West. So I would not pay Mikal. I'm not signing up for that contract. So whether that you trade him this year, trade him next year before you pay him, you're going to take a loss based on what you gave up. I think that's fine. And I would seriously consider moving on from Kat. You're not getting Giannis. You're not getting KD. So that's not even a question. But is there a way you can parlay Kat into two other pieces that together give you what Kat should have given you, which is good defense and a big who can stretch the floor? And I think those are the tweaks you need to make.
Yeah, I hear you, Josh. And, you know, people are talking about Giannis, and I don't think Giannis is the answer. The answer is, you know, Leon Rose and Tom Thibodeau, they got to be on the same page. If the coach is a defensive coach, the team's got to be defense first, right? And they got to have a deeper bench. That's another part of this dream. It wasn't a reality when you're in the series, you're in the Eastern Conference Finals, and now you're going to your bench. Landry Shamet is getting chance in Madison Square Garden. Right? You're in the Eastern Conference Finals, and Delon Wright is playing minutes. You're in the Eastern Conference Finals, and you know what I'm saying? It's like, now you're pivoting. Now you're grasping at straws. You're desperate to try and make anything happen, you're on your last leg. When you say that they put together just five names, like we watched how they put this team together. Like the emphasis on Wingstop, Mikal Bridges, OG Anunoby, and their defense, like they built this team to beat the Celtics, and they effectively did that. But now they got to build a team to beat the Pacers. And Karl Anthony Towns last night, 0 for 4, shooting the 3. Like Karl Anthony Towns, he's a guy that won you a game in this series, pretty much in that fourth quarter of game 3. Won you a game against the Pistons with his heroics late. And he can do that. But ultimately, the conversation is going to be like, does he fit with Brunson? And do you need another, like, another big, like, should he be the 5? Should he be the 4? You need another big on the floor with him. There's going to be questions around Mitchell Robinson, what you do with him, right? Mitchell Robinson, he turned a lot of heads. A lot of people were talking about Mitchell Robinson's defense and his impact. Mitchell Robinson worked on his free throws. The Hakimic from the Celtics series, that changed in this series. So, I don't know. It's Brunson's team, and they went out to get his teammate in Josh Hart, a hustle glue guy. But like honestly, Josh Hart is a guy that should be coming off the bench in theory. You got Karl Anthony Towns because you needed a big after, you know, not being able to pay Isaiah Hartenstein, and that sucks. That's too. It's just a technicality. You weren't able to offer him the second apron and how you signed him. You weren't able to keep that guy, right? And now that guy is in the finals. That guy is in the finals with OKC. He went and signed with them. Good for him. You're gonna see him. You're gonna see also. Former Knick, Obi Toppin. So the Knicks have pieces of their former teams, even as the Minnesota Timberwolves were in the Western Conference Finals, like with Randall, with DiVincenzo, like pieces of these former Knick teams as they keep tweaking the team. They are helping other teams win. Where are, you know, Mikal Bridges or Karl Anthony Towns going to land? And what are they going to do to tweak this team and make this team better so they could take a step forward? Rami?
But it's so lazy to say that because they didn't win the finals, this group can't win the finals. It's a lazy take because they didn't do it this year. Right, that's true. But they were the third closest team in the NBA to winning a championship with this group, correct?
Sure.
And we all know game one could have gone differently. You could point to different things in the series. They break your way and all of a sudden you're in the finals. So to say that this group was so far away, that's why the people who have these big takes who are coming
they're
it's
not
crazy.
Like, if that ball, if Tyrese Halliburton shot...
Right.
Skips off the back of the rim.
It's 3-3. We're going back to the Garden right now. That's one shot.
Okay, and since I have you, Rami, I know you're a diehard Knick fan. Do you want to run it back with this group?
I agree they have to change a couple of things, and I do think that Karl Anthony Towns has to decide if you want to buy in on defense or not.
What and if he can't? Like
that's not true, because there's a difference between him and Jalen Brunson. Jalen Brunson gives effort and is just, he's small and he's not good enough defensively. Karl Anthony Towns is quick on his feet, right? He's got really quick feet for a big guy. He's got the size. He's got the athleticism. It's just about buy-in. Why does he go into drop coverage every time on the pick and roll? Like, it's just about buying in. It's just about running back in transition instead of walking back.
And this
back.
Is honestly year one with this group.
Exactly.
It's something that they can work on and put an emphasis on all season into next season with him.
They probably need a bench piece or two. But again, to say that they couldn't do it because they didn't do it, it's lazy. It's like saying the Yankees last year, well, you can't win a championship with Aaron Judge and Juan Soto because they didn't do it last year. If they ran it back, they probably would have a good chance.
They tried to. They offered him $760 million. They tried
to. My point. So I think it's just...
But it wasn't just like... And it's good that you just made that comparison. The Yankees had so many other holes and flaws. So with this Knicks team, right, could they win with Brunson, with Cat, with Mikal Bridges? Potentially. But like you said, they probably need another bench
but
piece. They need a deeper bench.
Every team has flaws. The Pacers have their flaws. They can't play defense. We're going to watch the Pacers' flaws get exposed when they
absolutely
go up against a team like OKC.
That's just as deep as they are.
And not only that, but plays with the same pace and energy.
Younger.
The same frantic
fast
style. It's going to look like the NBA Finals is going to look like the NHL Finals. With the pace
and
energy it's
going
to have. Yeah, exactly. And guess what? The Pacers are going to be outmatched, I think. And the favorite right now, if you look at all the gambling odds, games and totals, the most likely outcome, according to Vegas, is OKC in 5. They're not even giving the Pacers a chance.
They'll get a game.
I think they'll get a game, too. But that's my point, that every team, maybe OKC doesn't have their flaws, but even them, I don't think that if you're in a close game late, I don't think they have the player who takes over late in games. I think as great as SGA is, he's not the kind of guy who takes over late in the game. Every team, even championship teams, have a flaws. We saw the Celtics' flaws exposed this year, right? It's the same team as last year, and we saw their flaws exposed that late in games, when it gets tight, they just throw up threes and play iso ball. Yep. They won a championship doing that, though. So every team, whether you win or not, it's so easy to play the results and say, oh, they didn't do it, so they couldn't have done it. It's not true.
And every year is different. And, I mean, we didn't know this year what would happen with the Celtics. We didn't know what would happen with Cleveland. Honestly, Cleveland, with Kenny Atkinson, came out of nowhere to be the one seed. Like, most of us weren't expecting that. Every year is different. This Knicks team is in their window. I think now, like what I'm saying, last year they built a team to knock off the Celtics. They effectively did that. Now they got to think about, how do we knock off the Pacers? The Pacers have eliminated them back-to-back years.
And by the way, the Celtics aren't going to be here next year. Tatum's going to be hurt out for the year. So how does that change? What do they do in the offseason? Cleveland, this year was their first year with Kenny Atkinson. They look good. Do they learn from what they, you know, obviously they had injuries, but do they learn from their missteps this postseason and get better for next year? But a lot of the teams that were supposed to be the teams to beat in the East, do you really think Joel Embiid is going to be healthy again? You can't bet on him to be healthy ever. Do you really think Milwaukee's probably blowing it up with Giannis and Dame? If not, Dame's hurt also, so what are you getting there? So I think the East is going to come down to still the Knicks, the Cavs, the Pacers. It's going to be the same teams. And the Knicks are right there. I don't see why they can't beat the Pacers next year.
Yeah, they could run it back, add a couple pieces, and take another step forward. And there was so much talk about this team's chemistry. And I know I said their chemistry, they were forged through fire in the playoffs. Like, run it back, play another year together, put emphasis on the defense and tightening the screws on this thing, and add another player or two to that bench. And they should still be right there next season. Eddie is in Allendale on the Fan. What's up, Eddie?
Hey, Keith, I'm loving the Sunday sauce, man. Good to talk to you.
Appreciate it.
I think the Knicks, like the way they're currently constructed, they can't run up and down the floor to match the Pacers. And they're missing the two-man game. You don't have the give-and-go, the pick-and-roll between Brunson and Kat. And you said it before, too. They're giving away a piece for the team. Look at Obi Toppin. They gave away him for 2 second-round picks. I mean, the guy's a spark plug off the bench. We need that sort of intensity. The guy, it's like fingernails on the chalkboard. Listen to the Pacers fans chant Obi Toppin in that game, knowing that he used to be a Knick. Your thoughts?
I'm listening to you and I'm listening to Rami about Obi Toppin. I mean, you know, the story with Obi is that the Knicks drafted him and he's a kid out of New York. And, you know, they didn't draft Tyrese Halliburton. And Obi, yeah, he had his moments, but like, I don't look at Obi as much of a difference maker. He had his moments in this series, but what were you just saying, Rami, about his plus minus? Like
he had the worst plus minus of anyone on the Pacers roster. He's the type of player that when the game's already out of hand, you come in and throw a couple lobs to him and it makes him look good. And I agree, as a Knicks fan, it was frustrating. And he hit that one dagger three earlier in the series. But he's not a good player. He's not the kind of player that would change the Knicks. He's a liability on defense. So you think bringing him in, how would that have worked for the Knicks that couldn't stop anyone on defense? Liability on defense, not a ball handler. So you're not getting any secondary ball handling out of him. He can't create for himself. He's a mediocre catch and shoot guy. Literally all he's good at is catching lobs in transition, which is great for the Pacers. That's what they do. They run in transition and they catch lobs. So he's great at running the floor in the offense. But come on, like, does it stink to watch a guy that played here that you drafted have success elsewhere? Yeah, but it stinks more to watch a guy in Tyrese Halliburton that you could have drafted ahead of Obi have success there. Now, granted, if they draft Tyrese Halliburton, they probably don't have Jalen Brunson. So I'll take the trade-off. I'm happy with how things went with the Knicks. I'm glad they didn't draft Halliburton because they ended up with Jalen Brunson. That's fine. But don't tell me that, oh, the Knicks could have really used Obi Toppin.
No, and thank you for the call, Eddie. It's just, I mean, go back to him and Julius Randle and this team having too many forwards. It's just, they tweak the team year after year after year. Obi, good for him. He's going to the finals with Indiana. He's a bench player that is a good piece for them, right? So the Knicks need to find a bench player. Like, the Pacers add an Obi Toppin, and they get him for next to nothing. The Knicks got to find a guy that can come off the bench and be flashy and give you, you know, some good moments and stuff like that. But I don't look at Obi Toppin as much of a factor or much of a loss for this Knicks team. What would he be doing with this Knicks team right now? Where would he be playing with it? You know, it's more about what the Knicks add to this iteration. Obi hasn't been on the team for 2 years. What do they add between 2025 into 2026 on the bench? What do they do to tweak this team so that this team can beat the Pacers, can beat the Cavaliers, so that the dream can become a reality where in the regular season they do beat the elite teams, and then we do say, okay, yes, this is the Knicks unit. This is Tom Thibodeau's group that can actually get it done, and it feels more real. 888-808-1019. Let's see if I can get another call in before we break. Got the Mets game on, bottom of the first here, and Lindor's coming up, and they're rocking a My Girl. Think you got a nice day in Queens. As I took the train in, I saw a lot of Met fans on the train. The Mets have been playing great at home. We'll get into Mets conversation. We'll get into Yankees conversation as well. But let's continue with the Knicks. Let's go to Bayshore. Chris, you're on the fan. What you thinking?
Hey, Keith. How are you? I haven't spoken to you in a while. Couple things. I think that Carlisle's not getting a lot of or enough credit for exposing Brunson. He's not a distributor. You know, he's got to play his game going, you know, cutting and slashing and making ridiculous shots and everything else. But when you take that away and you double him up high and you force him to get rid of the basketball, he's not at his best. And I think they did that to perfection last night.
Yeah, I tried to give a little credit to their front office. Thanks for the call. I tried to give credit to Carlisle. He's a champion. He's a former player. He's such a smart mind. Each game is different. I said every game in the series is a lap in the race. And I feel like Rick Carlisle kept going back to the drawing board and figuring things out. And, yeah, when you watch Brunson last night, like I said, they lost with their best player not having a good game at all. But that's a product of how they defended him and them stopping him. And Rick Carlisle deserves a ton of credit, what he's done with this Pacers team. Like, remember him crying last year about being a small market team and not getting the calls, and they still figured it out. I mean, now he's got small market Indiana in the finals against small market OKC. I think the ratings are going to be down, of course, but it's the NBA. People are going to watch, you know, Halliburton versus SGA. And, I mean, the Pacers, I don't think they're going to win the series. I think, you know, OKC's been laid up. They're going to have a whole week off, and they're going to beat them. But, you know, you tip your cap to Rick Carlisle, what he was able to do against his Knicks team. His team, they're a good team. They're a good group. And that's where I look at Tibbs and Leon Rose, and I say, okay, they have to find an identity. Leon Rose has to find Tibbs the right players. And maybe this year, going into this year, was just a technicality of, okay, we lost Ihart. We need another big. And we want to put this group together, right? Brunson, Hart, DiVincenzo, Mikal Bridges. We want to put these guys back together. It's possible to happen. Like, remember all the trolling that Josh Hart was doing? It was almost just like to the point where, you know, as a Net fan, I'm like, Mikal Bridges wants to play over there. The Knicks want him over there. It's going to happen, or it should happen. And so many people know it can't ever happen, and then it happened. Okay, now he's on the team. Karl Anthony Towns is on the team. How do they make this team better? I don't have the answer, but that's not my job. That's Leon Rose's job. And, like, what I'm saying is he's got to be in lockstep with the head coach.
And doesn't everything they've done prove that they are in lockstep and that you should trust Leon Rose?
I mean, Leon Rose, as quiet as he is kept, as much as he doesn't want credit, as much as we talk about this run being a dream, I mean, he has done the thing. Like, this, come on. Like,
this
the Knicks have been.
That was terrible.
The Knicks have been terrible for so long.
And turned them into a perennial team that's top four in the East every year the last 3 years. And every year they're at least in the second round. And this year they went to the conference finals within
it's
2 weeks.
It's progress. They're working on it. They're going to keep changing the team and tweaking the team and figuring it out. And yeah, they're in lockstep. But I just think if Tibbs's identity is defense and, like, you get to the Eastern Conference Finals and you got to go to your bench and get defensive minutes out of Landry Shamet, who was with the Westchester Knicks, and DeLon Wright, who's a journeyman. Like, there's got to be a couple better guys.
Well, think about what happens. And this is just an interesting, you think about the timeline. You talk about the Bird Rights deal, obviously, with Hartenstein, where they weren't allowed to pay him, which is so dumb that the team that currently has him is not allowed to pay him more. It's a flaw in the CBA, but
sure.
Fine. Not the point. The point is, if they don't get the Mitchell Robinson news in training camp that he's going to be out longer than they anticipated, they probably do run it back with DiVincenzo and Randall. And then all of a sudden you're looking at a team where Mitchell Robinson is your starting five, Randall is your starting four, and you have Hart and DiVincenzo coming off the bench. All of a sudden, that's where the depth was. They had to make a
move.
They had to make a move because of the Robinson injury last minute, right before the season starts. You remember, they have their introductory press conference before the season, and they're not even allowed to talk. Hart and Tibbs, they're dancing around the Karl-Anthony Towns trade because they weren't allowed to talk about it yet because it wasn't official yet. The guy showed up 5 minutes before the season started. So I think they kind of had to pivot last minute because of the Robinson injury and because of the Bird rights deal, obviously, with Hartenstein. And so it left them in a bad spot.
But not that bad of a spot because they won 50 games and they got to the Eastern Conference Finals.
Exactly, my point. So to think that with all that, they went to the Conference Finals, they're a couple moves away from being...
It's crazy, bro. This whole show, and like even listening to Moose's show, and we're talking all around this, it is crazy how much we have forgotten about what the Knicks were. And like how greedy like expectations.
But that's when I talk about bandwagon fans who just showed up in the last couple of years. I was just telling someone on hold, I've been watching every single, forget about watching them my whole life. I don't think I missed a game since they drafted RJ Barrett. Like not a single regular season game.
Heard you.
So
yeah,
that's how it is.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, but this is what it's like being a fan, man. It is pain. It is overthinking everything.
Don't know that. Some people, guess what? The people on social media who are dancing after playoff wins, also, those aren't Knicks fans. Those are people
don't get me started on that. And I'm fine with it.
Those are people who don't watch on a Tuesday night in Portland.
Like, and I mean, we're part of it, but like, not really. Like, I'm not. Somebody was asking me, like, if the Nets won, they'd be doing the same thing. I'm like, no, they wouldn't. Like, on the concourse out there in Flatbush and Atlantic, like that, there's none of that.
Yeah, but guess what? There would be people who would, those same people who are at Madison Square Garden would put on a Nets jersey and go party in Brooklyn.
Those aren't the diehard
fans.
They're
not fans at
all. Because as a Knicks fan, like my friends that are Knicks fans were nervous this entire series. Even when, you know, you did get that Game 3 win, that's not something to go outside and run around and celebrate and dance and light stuff on fire and do videos and Knicks in 7, Knicks in 6. Like, nah, that's just a phew. Like,
I was there for game 5. I ran out of there. You know what I mean? I'm I'm going straight to Penn Station and going home because I don't want to be in this mess of people who don't actually. My rule would be, if you didn't see the Mikal Bridges game winner against Portland live, which happened at about 2 a.m. Eastern time in overtime, if you didn't see that live and you weren't watching that game live, then don't talk about the team.
A great piece of content that somebody should have done was go out there and interview the fans that are going crazy and ask them things like, did you see that game?
Do you remember that game in March 12th?
You know, ask them things like, what number does Ariel Huck-Porty wear?
Exactly.
Ask them little intricacies of the team and like how they built this team and what this team, and you would find that like these are just New York kids that are going where it's free and it's popping and they could go viral and they could be in a, you know, 3 second clip of a video that has 100,000 views.
TikTok, yeah.
Exactly. And it's over now. And that's when I go back to, hey, the world saw those videos. The world wanted to humble us. They wanted to humble New York. There is no dancing in the streets. There's no party now. There is no game 7. Like, it's over. It was all a dream. It was never a reality. It was fun while it lasted. But here we are kind of picking up the pieces on a Sunday and thinking about this team and where we go next. Sunday Sauce on the Fan, Keith McPherson. And I got to give Rami a lot of love as a diehard Knicks fan producing the show, and him and I talking before the show, and you know me letting him, hey, the mic is open for you, bro, because I know you know. So taking your calls, you know, 1 hour down, taking your calls till 6 p.m., we will get into the Mets, we will get into the Yankees, but we are still picking up the pieces of the puzzle, you know, healing today, a little Knicks fan therapy, and just trying to get through a Sunday, the first Sunday of June. Sunday Sauce returns right after this.